we have an actor who's running for president right now, and of course we had an actor who was president, so I have to ask first, do you have any political aspirations?
No. No, I don't. What I'm about is really more of the Paul Revere mode of warning people of the industrial tsunami that's heading our way. Because I see it quite clearly in my show as I travel around the country. You know, John Ratzenberger's Made in America that I do for the Travel Channel. We're losing entire communities and entire cities because manufacturing is leaving. And if that keeps up at the pace it's going, we've got, you know, 6 to 10 years before we become a third world country. So, no, I don't have any political aspirations. What I'm trying to do is get the people that are in charge to start worrying about the civilization. That you know, because we're based on manufacturing. America's an industrial powerhouse, always has been. That's why we are America. And they're letting it all go. They're selling us out.
There is one presidential candidate, a fellow named Duncan Hunter, who makes this case from the perspective of national security, whereby he argues that America would not be able to compete in the way it did during World War II by ramping up its manufacturing because we don't have the manufacturing base in the country to undertake the kind of massive building projects that were undertaken for World War II. Do you see that as part of this argument you're making?
Oh, sure. He's absolutely right. World War II, overnight, the people that were making lipstick canisters, you know, then started making bullets, and people who were making yachts down in New Orleans then started making PT boats right away. We don't have that capability anymore. But also, what's very important, and a lot of people don't realize this, there were train tracks going from factory to factory, and those tracks now have been ripped up. So even getting the goods from one factory to the next in order to build the tanks or whatever we need doesn't exist anymore. And how can you sustain an armed force if a lot of your vital equipment is being made in other countries? That's insanity, and our politicians let that happen, Republican and Democrat. That's insane. I mean, we don't even make the bullets that our armed forces use. So what happens if that country decides, you know what, I think I'm deciding on the other side of that war, and we're just not going to ship America any more bullets or flak jackets or Jeep tires, whatever it is. It's insanity, and he's absolutely right.
In addition to politicians, though, you have the boards of directors and the CEOs of companies who've decided to embark on this outsourcing of jobs and, you know, building plants in Mexico where labor costs are cheaper. It's more than just a political problem. It's an entire systemic problem.
Sure. Sure. I don't think I don't think they're Americans, quite frankly, because they don't think of the country in the same terms as people did 30 or 40 years ago. See, patriotism comes through osmosis, and little by little, we've chipped away at that. The school system has chipped away at that. Parents chip away at that. You know, they don't take their kids to parades anymore or Memorial Day services. And so the whole idea of being a patriot, of really loving this country, has gone by the wayside in a lot of executive suites because they think it's something that's either childish or xenophobic, and that's what sustains us. That's what holds us together. And I'm afraid that's happening. Yeah, they think more of their bottom line and their stock prices than they do of their children's future. You know, the Chinese think in terms of 50 and 100 years down the line. Unfortunately, we just think every financial quarter down the line, and that's one of the problems. They just don't get it. As long as, you know, the caddy has got their golf bags and you know, their jets are fueled and there's food in the refrigerator, they really don't care about the country as a whole. All they're there is to put the stock price up. That's why they got that position, and that's what they do. But they don't really understand that we are one nation, we're one family. And I don't understand why the word protectionist is a bad word, because we protect our families. You know, and collectively we protect our neighborhoods, neighborhood watch. So why wouldn't we protect our country? Are we not one family, one American family? This is our country. So Yeah, unfortunately, that's happening. And the executives, you know, who are shipping the companies overseas, aren't thinking of the future. They're just thinking of the near future in their pockets.
I should ask you, what and who is the Alliance for Manufacturing, American Manufacturing?
The Alliance for American Manufacturing was put together just recently, in the last few months, and I met them in the office of the Steelworkers Union in Pittsburgh.
What lit this fire in you that you are going on this, you know, road show to early primary states?
Well, I grew up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which was the jewel in the crown of the industrial Northeast. We made everything. And I was surrounded by people who actually made things for a living. My uncles, you know, my mother, they all worked in factories. So my heroes were lathe operators, machine tool operators, people who could actually make things out of nothing, fix things, repair things, invent things. So that's the world I grew up in. And as I went overseas for 10 years in the 70s and came back, and I realized something had changed. Something had changed. I don't know whether it was arrested adolescence or the media made factory workers look like they're idiots. And so why would a child want to become a factory worker or a carpenter, plumber, electrician, a welder? Because every time you look at a TV show or a movie, they're depicted as being wife beaters or drunks or buffoons. You know, and that coupled with the fact that there are no more shop courses nationwide. We've been fed this myth that everyone wants or needs to go to college. So all these things put together, in my background, my childhood. In fact, I was a carpenter. I was a house framer before I became an actor. But I see it all disappearing, and I understand the danger of what happens when it disappears, that we, in effect, will become a slave nation. We have to start honoring the people who really work for a living, that make things, because it's the community. Once a factory leaves, well, there goes the local pizza place, there goes the local butcher shop, hardware store, whatever it is. Well, who's sponsoring your Little League team then? Your Kiwanis clubs, the charity organizations. You're never going to see the name of a Chinese factory on your kid's Little League uniform. But I see it because I travel extensively. I've traveled to more than 300 companies so far, factories, and talked to people with CEOs and the workers. And it's happening. It's happening right before our eyes, and we don't get it. We don't understand it. Because the media centers, New York and Los Angeles, they don't get the rest of the country. But they're writing the stories, and most of them, even though their parents were probably, worked at some manual job, they graduated from high school, went right into college, got a job as a journalist, and unless they grew up surrounded by it or experienced it themselves, they just don't get it. So my job is to put the word out and say, folks, you really got to pay attention to this.